Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church of Thibodaux and Houma, Louisiana. Through our preaching series, we pray that you would hear the gospel proclaimed. By visiting either one of our congregations, we hope you feel the love of Christ and can worship with us. So join us as we dive into today's sermon.
Has anyone here ever been the victim of favoritism or any form of racism? All right. Or has anyone ever discriminated against you? All right, let me flip the question. Has anyone in this room shown favoritism or acted racially towards someone, or have you been the one doing the discrimination? So I guess I'm the only one. All right, check this. The Bible is clear. It is extremely clear on what it says about favoritism and how we are to treat one another. Consider this. If we are standing in a large crowd and someone comes stands right by us, fine, right? But this person looks like they belong to a Middle Eastern family, possibly of Islamic beliefs. Let's say we are right about their beliefs, but this person's appearance causes us to look at them and judge them. We are not in favor of their looks because we associate that with 9/11 or some other horrible thing. Therefore, we decide to go stand in a group of people that look like us. The person that we departed from, due to their nationality or ethnicity, was only looking for someone to share the gospel with them because their family disowned them for wanting to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, we who claim to be followers of Christ Jesus, we blatantly show favoritism and we discriminated against that very person. Answer this question. What makes us better than the person next to us? So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, the Imago Dei, he created them. Both male and female, he created them, as stated in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Let us not forget that we are created in God's own image. And I'm going to repeat this a lot throughout the sermon, so just kind of bear with me as I do this. But we are created in God's own image, and we as Christians shall emulate the image of God on this earth in our everyday lives by not being or acting as a respecter of persons. Let me repeat that again. We as Christians shall emulate the image of God on this earth in our everyday lives by not being or acting as a respecter of persons. Let's pray. Bless us, O Lord, as we meet together in your presence, we pray. Bless the hearing and the reading of your word, the sharing of the fellowship, and the prayers that will be heard. Lord, bless the understanding of your word, and let your word go forth on the hearts of our listeners online, never thought I'd say that, and let them emulate what the word says. Let them live in such a way that you would be glorified. Bless us as we meet together in your presence, dear Lord, we pray. Amen. We're going to be in James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. So if you want to get your few Bibles and open up to that, you can, page 855. The Bible is clear, and it tells us about James. James is the brother of Jesus and the leader of the Jerusalem Council, as stated in Acts 15. Now, James at some point was skeptical of Jesus' ministry, his own brother. But Jesus then appeared to James after his resurrection, as stated in 1 Corinthians 15:7. So now we know that James is now a believer, and he now plays a vital role in the early church. You see, James was called one of the pillars of the church. So I'm going to get a little nerdy, so bear with me. But the Greek word for pillar is stulos or silos, which means to stiffen or to properly akin to the base of. So the primary theme of the book of James talks about living out one's faith and being a doer of the word and not just a hearer. In James 2, verses 1 to 13, James deals with the social conflict of the day between the rich man and the poor man. In other words, showing favoritism to the rich man and shunning the poor man. He also attacks, if you will, the spiritual conflicts of the church. Now, if we had to outline this passage on favoritism, we would get three bullet points. Point number one, verses 1 to 7 is preferring to the wealthy over the poor. Point two, verses 8 to 11 talks about the royal law of love. And then point three, which is verses 12 to 13, that will be telling us about acting in the light of judgment. And I added a fourth one, faith over favoritism. Even in the first century church, they dealt with issues that we see in our faces every single day. Although James writes this letter as a pastor, he instructs and he encourages his dispersed people, the Jews that is, in the face of their difficulties, which also can apply to us today. James, in other words, stiffens up on his people. James was not afraid to correct a corrupt practice of the church during that time. He threw no punches. Now, let us go ahead and dive into the word. James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, page 855. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into the meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing the fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but you say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor at my feet," you have not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts. Verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in the faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones that are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin, and you are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not commit murder." If you do not commit adultery, but you commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, I started off with the title of the sermon called "Don't Look at One Another Differently," but then I changed it to "Who's Better?" And you'll understand as we progress in the sermon. Now, I will say, after reading this passage, we can all go home, right? Like, I don't have to say anything else after that. We can read that and understand exactly what the scripture says. However, James, right in the beginning of the chapter, decided he was going to call some people out. Don't you just love that? James goes straight for the jugular vein and cuts to the problem right in the beginning. He wastes no time in bringing up the issue that is visible in the church amongst the dispersed people. James urges his people not to show favoritism. Now, again, I want to get wordy and nerdy. So we're going to take a look at the English meaning of the word favoritism. Favoritism means the favoring of one group over others with equal claims, or partiality. In the Greek translation, the term favoritism is actually translated to prosopagnosia. Don't try to repeat that. That simply means respecter of persons, or respected persons. Now, I want to go back to verse 1, and I want to read verse 1 with the meaning in place of favoritism. Now, also think about, you know, a respected person is like a persona or a person that wears a mask. So also keep that in mind. So reading it with the meaning in place. My brothers and sisters, believer in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show respect of persons. And now let's jump down to verse 4 and let's take a look at the word discriminate. So the English language for discrimination means to make a distinction in favor of or against a person or thing on the basis of the group, class, category to which that person or thing belongs, rather than according to actual merit, or again, show partiality. And the Greek word for discrimination is dakrino, which translates to discriminate, which means to show distinction. Now, reading it with the definition in place at verse 4, it says this: you have not made distinctions amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts. You're tracking me? So the first century church struggled with this sin of favoritism, and so do we. Amen? And it is visible enough for James to call this sin out. You see, the people looked at the wealthy person that walked into the meeting or assembly as a person that could support the church, which is not a bad thing, unless you look down on someone else who is not as fortunate. Now, we look at the rich person, if you will, as a person of status quo, a person that can give us something. We see the exact same problem in today's churches, schools, businesses, law enforcement agencies, and in our government. Look, you and I both know that everyone in this room has shown favoritism or acted racially toward a group of people. Y'all just admitted it, okay? Now, if you say you have not, then we are all lying. I just told y'all I'm guilty of it. I said it myself. I often look at certain people a certain way. Now, we as a Christian group, we all show favoritism because of the original fall. We know because of the sin we're going to do this. Now, here's what I want to ask all of us to ask ourselves. If God does not show favoritism, why do we? We know this to be true because of Acts 10:34 tells us about God accepting all men who fear him and do what is right. It tells us that God does not show favoritism. You're probably thinking, well, what about our sin? You know, we know it's a sin. Well, guess what? Because God is holy and just and does not discriminate, our sins will be addressed. This is the type of behavior of favoritism that violates the royal law of love, as stated in James 2:8. Those who discriminate or show favoritism will be judged. Demonstrating favoritism is just as bad as any sin known to mankind. James goes into great detail about one who breaks one point of the law is considered a lawbreaker. And they're considered a lawbreaker because they are guilty of breaking the entire law. Many of us in this room, we cast disdain towards another person this very hour. Now, we all know everybody in the room, we love each other. But we cast disdain against that person we may not like. Think about that for a minute. That means we're guilty of breaking the law of love. I heard Dr. Tony Evans say that God is not interested in blessing anyone if they're going to be a curse to another brother. In order to put others down, we have to raise ourselves up. Now, we deal with racism in this country, and it's around us every single day. It is so prevalent and it is in our faces that the media uses it to fuel their views and to teach hatred or to help spread hatred. Now, here's another picture that I want to paint. Let an innocent black man get killed by white police. White police show disdain, or white people show disdain toward black people, and black people show disdain toward white people. Now, check this. We as Christian folks show disdain toward other folks in other denominations that do not believe what we believe. We treat them with contempt. When is this going to end? Oh, wait. I forgot, and I'm pretty sure we all forget that due to the fall, we are engulfed in original sin. Therefore, we cannot help but remain in our sin, which so easily entangles us. And for that reason, we need the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the devil will utilize and focus on discrimination, favoritism, or partiality, whatever word you want to use. And he's going to use that to cause disruption in the church. The man loves confusion. And we have to have our guard up against that. And if I can boldly proclaim that the church shall be unified in Christ as one in him. If we as a church, as the body of Christ, if we remain divided, that will be a license for Satan to remain in our presence. We would for sure have more social, more moral problems and division and favoritism and the fight of who's better. That would destroy the body from the inside of you. Think about a husband and a wife. They become one in marriage, right? Well, hence the church, as the bride of Christ, shall be one in him. There is no space for favoritism. James calls a spade, if you will. He calls a black eye a black eye. So James points this out in verse 11, that one who does not commit adultery but commits murder is still considered a lawbreaker. What we think and know to be true about this passage is James is telling them, us if you will, that a sin like favoritism is still so weighty and it deserves judgment. Look, we know that some of us in here, we have dealt with discrimination of some form growing up. We were teased because of our financial status, the color of our skin, or even by the grades we obtained in school, the neighborhood in which we live or the lack thereof, how we dress, our dialect, or even the friends in which we associate. If a person were to walk in this sanctuary right now, let's say Joe Biden walks into the sanctuary right now, or Donald Trump, or, you know, some famous person, how would we treat them? Now, let's say another person walks into the sanctuary wearing baggy clothing, we would probably think that they're either slouchy or they just don't care. But we wouldn't stop to think that maybe they don't have the money to buy better fitting clothes. They just want to hear the gospel. So if we're going to be leaning toward avoiding people with differences at all costs, then we too have discriminated against the very people that God created in his own image. We make rapid judgments without praying and seeking God's help to understand where that person is at that point in their lives. This is no different from what James pointed out in the passage. We all will suffer persecution of some sort. Whether it's our faith, the way we look, or how we dress, or whatever. People, and I'm using people lightly, I'm talking about the people that are not believers, that are not part of the calling. People will hate us because of what we stand for. and who we believe in. They will be in favor of a sinful worldly person, but make us depart from their presence. Because we bear the name of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, faith and favoritism cannot exist in the same place. They do not work in harmony. What do I mean by that? If I tell you that faith and favoritism cannot exist in the same space, what I'm saying is, because we have faith in Jesus Christ, we have no space or no room in our hearts for favoritism. They don't work in harmony. They don't work in tandem, if you will. But we as believers, because of our sin, we discriminate. And we too are considered a respecter of persons. But we repent of our sins and we ask God to remove from us the respect of persons attitude that we hold in our heart and that is also visible for people to see. Listen up. There is a creator God, and we are all made in his image, no matter how we look. Just as I read from Psalms 139, verses 13 to 15. We too experience being discriminated against, and we may feel unwanted, abused, talked about, called out by names, told that someone else is better than us, and even told that we're not wanted and we do not belong. I have heard that so many times. For a long time, bear with me as I get through this next part. But for a long time, blacks were considered people not of the human race. As the black person standing in this room, that statement then is a lie, and that statement now is a lie. And if you are a white person sitting in the audience and you have been called despicable names, that statement is a lie. If any one of us was told in this room that we are not a child of God, that is a lie. If you're wondering who's better, stop thinking about it. If we have confessed our faith and we have said with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and we believe, then we are all his children. And God is not impartial with us because we belong to him. How do I know this? I learned this from a dead white man by the name of Abraham Kuyper. Abraham Kuyper said that there is not a square inch in the whole domain over human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, has not cried out, "Mine." Jesus gets to claim everything in this universe, and partiality or favoritism is not shown. However, our sins are dealt with accordingly. God does not favor individuals due to their status quos or positions in lives, because he's the one that ordained it in the first place. So how can we be partial? Now I'm going to ask everyone in this room, including myself, to listen to what I'm about to say next. Do not look at anyone differently, because we are all made in the Imago Dei, the image of God. According to one verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Do not worry about who's better. Do not look at anyone differently, because none is righteous, no, not one, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. We shall not look at another one differently if we believe in God's word, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 28, that says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, and you are all one in Christ Jesus. Do not judge anyone, and do not build up walls of division, because for he is our peace, who made us both one and has torn down the dividing walls of hostility in his flesh. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Let us as one love one another, bearing one another's burdens. Thank y'all for bearing my burden. I mean that. But despite of our differences in appearance, our ethnic groups, status quos, racial status, financial status, whatever, as a church, one church, racism, discrimination, or favoritism, or thinking about who's better, shall not be tolerated amongst the believing body. Now, for those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, shall not show favoritism, but love all. Nor shall favoritism be tolerated in our churches, schools, politics, or anywhere. Yet we are still called to love all. Point one. As a member of the body, the church, we are not to show favoritism within the body of believers. We are to show love and compassion amongst ourselves. And that action will lead out into the world for the non-believers to see. Point two, as law-abiding citizens and as Christ followers, we are not to revile the president of these United States of America or anyone in Congress or local government. Bear with me. Showing favoritism in the political realm and engaging in discussing and talk about a leader is a form of showing favoritism. Be careful, brothers and sisters, be careful. We should pray for our leaders even if we disagree with them. Amen? Here's why no one, this is the thing. We don't like certain people in politics. We can agree with that, right? What did I say earlier? No one gets to hold a political office had it not been for God's sovereign grace to allow it to happen. Why we show favoritism? Point three, as family members, we do not need to show partiality or favoritism within our own families, nor should we strive to see or think of who's better. Love them. It can be hard, I know, but love them. As teachers, and I'm not one, but as teachers, they have a tremendous obligation to teach our youth. They shall not teach them to show favoritism or to be a respect of persons. As a teacher, they are not to use their platform to push their negative beliefs or wrong and unbiblical unbiblical statements to indoctrinate students to show favoritism or hatred of any kind. Point five. As preachers, no partiality shall be shown within the congregation. The gospel shall be preached, and it shall be preached in Him crucified. And because of that, that will drive out favoritism. Why am I telling you this? Because as Christ followers, non-believers are watching our every single move. Do not teach, show, or act out of favoritism. Let us not act as if we are better than them. We must treat everyone the same. We must treat everyone just as Christ. And we are all made in the what? The Imago Dei, the image of God. Let's face it. Every human has a preference, a prejudice, or biases. But let's remember to love because our faith loves. You know the saying that first impressions are everything? Ever heard that before? Well, we as Christians are to see our faith at work. We are to see our faith love, and we should see people the way God sees people, in His image. So I got a question. Who's better? There is none better than Christ Jesus. Now I want to take us through a quick recap. James wrote this letter to the dispersed people who were professing Christians, or back in that time frame, the ones that professed the way. James addresses multiple problems through this letter. But if you go back to James chapter 1, verse 26, He talks about the Christian ethics. And then moving forward to chapter 2, the first 13 verses, he points out the problem in the church that needed to be addressed. He cuts straight to the jugular vein, and he points out that very sin. Very simple. But then James reminds us how divisive it is. The book of James is an amazing companion piece to the teachings of Jesus according to the four Gospels. James then emphasizes the Christian characteristics by good deeds and a faith that works and a faith that loves. Throughout this text, the Holy Spirit uses James to point out the estrangement or the favoritism along with these socioeconomic lines that are sinful behaviors simply because it defines a person in terms apart from how God sees them. And as we continue to read in James chapter 2, we hear God tell us that we need to check our own hearts at the foot of the cross. And I'm going to urge us to check our hearts as we go forward this week. Again, I too am a sinner. I am no better than a homeless man dressed in filthy clothes. And I am no better than the person sitting in the audience today. Who am I to show favoritism and judge my brother and sister in a negative and wholesome way that may cause division? I am no better than neither of you. Hear this call to action, brothers and sisters. We as Christians will be different because we follow Jesus Christ. We are marked. Jesus was no respecter of persons, so why are we? Jesus healed the blind, the lame, the leper, and even what the Jews would call the filthy woman who had a medical condition. Jesus died with the tax collectors and sinners. What is our problem with accepting people for who they are in the state that they are currently in? You see, the first century church could not get it right. But we can surely attempt to work toward not falling into the same debacle that the first century church did. We shall work to minimize the sin that so easily divides us. And we should look to the bridegroom, for the bridegroom connected to the bride are one. No favoritism and no thinking of who's better can penetrate that sacred bond. Now, if we catch ourselves sinning, then we shall repent and ask for God's grace and forgiveness. Then we should try harder next time. Just to mess it all up. I'm asking this question again. Who's better? There is none better than Christ Jesus. Let us close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we come before you again in repentance of being a respecter of persons. For we know, O Lord, that you are not a respecter of persons. Lord, you have not shown favoritism, yet you will judge all wickedness in due time. Father, we pray that you would change our hearts and begin to move us in a way from our sins and to target our hearts so that we can immediately see the error of our ways, O God. Lord, keep us away from favoritism, for it is divisive and destructive. Father, we beg you to give us a heart that loves all people, and a heart that meets all people in their current state without judgment. Lord, give us a heart of love and allow us to love the same way you came to earth and gave us in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, unbind us from this sin of favoritism and let us be more inclusive and welcoming to those who worship among us that look different. At the same time, Lord, let us be able to call out sin when it is in our faces. Lord, we confess our sins to each other today, and we pray for one another pray that you may heal us from all unrighteousness. For your word says that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and let us emulate the love here on earth. Lord, we pray this in the same way your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you guys for allowing me to preach to y'all today. It's been fun. But I want us to go into the world in peace. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Do not show favoritism. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Go in peace and go in love. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's sermon. If you want to learn more about our churches, please check out our websites. For the Thibodeaux location, www.fpct.net. And for our Houma location, www.houmafirst.church. That is homafirst.church. Again, thank you for tuning in, and may God bless and enrich your day. See you next Sunday.